Hey, this is Elliot. We're going to talk again about how to create cash-generating habits which stick, how to create two new habits and a new comfort zone which generates cash in 90 days. So this is session two, and we're going on now from days 9 to 18, and we're going to talk about the champion state of mind. Now, I want to give credit where it's due. I saw a video online by a super successful entrepreneur called Dean Graziosi, and he has two $100 million companies, two of them, right? And he strives for excellence in every area of his life, and it shows he has incredible passion and enthusiasm. And though I've never met him, you can see he's just a really authentic, kind-hearted dude. So I just want to say what I'm going to share with you today, I learned from him. All right. So if you have any inkling or feeling that this is just a load of hooey, then you could go give him a hard time about it, not me. Okay. So we're going to be talking about the champion's state of mind, where Dean shares his number one secret to achieving his dreams. And, again, he has two $100 million companies. So this is definitely someone you'd want to learn from. Now, he says that he made his success being highly energized and confident when it mattered most. And he said, for anyone to be successful, it's all about getting into the right state of mind and having confidence when you need it the most to take you to the next level of happiness and success in your life. So let me ask you this. In terms of happiness, are you in a place right now that doesn't allow you to be the best you? Do you have a smile on your face? Everybody thinks you're good, but you're sad on the inside. Are you maybe a baby boomer that took a job 30 years ago, but you did it for other people and you're kind of feeling lost in your just coasting through life? How about your career? Are you starting a career, or do you maybe hate the career that you're in? Or are you broke and you want more, but something just keeps getting in the way? There's some kind of resistance that's holding you back. There's something, I don't know, almost invisible that stops you from living that life that you want. Maybe you went to a live event and you were super motivated and excited, or maybe you read a book and you felt, yeah, I can do this, and you got a peak of energy and then it just went away. And I don't know about your relationships, but are you coasting where maybe it's good enough, but maybe you've got one foot out the door? Or you're hoping for a relationship, but something just blocks, it's just blocking you, it's just stopping you, it resists you and holds you back from that relationship that you know that other people have. And what about your body and your fitness? How do you feel? Is there a goal that you have? You want to eat better, you want to have more energy that lasts throughout the day, you want to go to the gym or exercise or make the right choices, but something just keeps blocking you. And, for some of it, we could use the excuse that, well, I mean, look at the headlines on the news today. I mean, the headlines, they just get more and more negative every year. The perils of the world economy, the health scare epidemics, the political and celebrity scandals, the natural disasters, the crime. All these things are just continuously on the rise, and for the most part, that's all we hear about, right? Seldom do we ever actually hear any good news. I mean, heaven forbid they tell us something that's actually good. I mean, in England, they won't even give us a good weather report. I mean, actually, today is actually a pretty good day, but it is summer. We don't get much of summer in England. I've been in summertime in England and not had a summer. I mean, it happens sometimes. But I heard that decades ago, Time magazine, they used to report good news, right? And 90% of the time, they, that's what they were doing, giving good news. But then they started noticing that bad news sold better. So they started to increase the amount of bad news that they told. And now, would you believe? Well, of course you believe it. 90% of the news is bad news. I mean, they're saying now that our children won't live as long as us now. They say that they'll never be as wealthy as we were. They say that, the dream life is no longer possible. And, you sort of wonder yourself, is that really true? Well, it would kind of look like it on the outside for a lot of people, but you see, the thing we have to realize is who really determines the quality of the life you live? You do. You know, it's what's inside you that matters, you know? And Dean Graziosi said this. He said, "Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat?" And I love this analogy. He says, "Will you let the temperature of the world determine your temperature, or will you choose the temperature that you want to be?" That's worth some thought. So here's the point. You can control and determine the conditions of your outside world from the inside, right? But what stops you is this monster who lives inside you that was created by the information you got from the outside world. And it stops you from having the epic life of high performance. So what I'm going to share with you is how to kill the monster that's sabotaging you right now, that it was created by the information which was forced on you by the outside world. So the whole point of me telling you this is to tell you that since you technically allowed it to be created, you can break free from it and unleash the champion within you who has always actually been destined for greatness. Okay. And the champion's voice inside you, it may be a little quiet now. It might just be whispering and not saying that much, but it is there. But we are going to get the champion to scream loud and clear, out. We want it to drown out the nonsense of the monster, right? We want it to be louder than that voice. And we want to make it so that the only voice you hear from now on is the champion's voice. Does that sound good? All right. So as I said, it's the thoughts between your ears that determine the results that you experience in any area of life. You know, I'll just tell you, I didn't get the best start in life. Okay. Before I was even born, my biological father decided that I wasn't his child. He wasn't going to be in my life, which was weird because it wasn't like he was some scared teenager with no experience. No, he already had a 4-year-old daughter who he acknowledged, but before I was born, he just decided, nope, I'm not going to be in his life. Can you imagine that? Imagine just growing up with that in your mind that you're a reject, you know? And do you know, to this day, I've never heard from him, seen him. I've never even seen a picture. I literally have no idea what he looks like. I could walk past him in the street and not even know, right? Well, fortunately, when I was 4 years old, my mother met somebody, and 3 years later, they got married. But guess what? I was told that he was my dad, and I'd been calling him dad ever since I could remember. So, it actually wasn't until I was 13 years old, the day before my baptism, which was the 27th of February, 1998, and my dad told me the truth. Now, at 9 years old, my mum and my dad were divorced, and my dad moved down to Southeast Asia, and I didn't see him that often. So at 9 years old, I was the little man of the house, with no male figure physically present to teach me the things a man should know. My mother definitely did her best, and she was a praying woman, and I believe God really helped us out. But some things you can only learn from a man, So I had to figure out a lot of stuff on my own. And so, in essence, I was raised by what I was basically drawn towards, and the people around me who were like the people I wanted to be like. And that's how I was raised, in a sense. Now, my mother, she worked a low wage job making £400 a month. Okay. And before that, we survived on income support from the government. So my mom used to, I remember she used to buy food from Tesco, and our shopping basket was full of those. I don't know if you live in England, but if you live in England and you'll know what I'm talking about, maybe you won't if you didn't grow up as unfortunate as I did in some cases. But we had Tesco had these value boxes, right? And they had these ugly, it was like a stripe, like blue and white stripes, and then it had in big red letters, value, Tesco value, you know. And I remember our shopping basket would be full of Tesco value, this Tesco value, that, you know. And I remember these little, what do you call them? They were like, it was a can of baked beans, right? And I remember they were 3p, right? Can you imagine that? 3 pence. They didn't actually taste that bad, but I mean, you know, I wouldn't want to know what's in it. It's only 3p, but that's what we could afford. So that's what we got. And, you know, I remember being the only kid in my class who had to go every day before lunch to the school bursar to collect my lunch money, £2.10. And, you know, my friends would always wonder, you know, how come I always popped into the bursar's office every lunchtime? And then I remember, you know, explaining to them what it was and that I was doing. And, you know, they kind of didn't quite get it, but, you know, cause I was the only kid that was doing that in the school. So, you know, that was kind of embarrassing. And well, by the time I was 18, I moved house 15 times, right? When I was just 4 years old, the head teacher told my mother, "Your son will never be a high flyer." I went to 8 different schools by the time I was 15 years old. 3 of those schools I was asked to leave because my dad was late paying fees. And I was taken out of school while preparing for my GCSEs, or I guess that's the equivalent of the GED in the States. And I failed. I had to retake them. And then I did my A-levels. And I got, let's say, less than stellar results. And I got an HND, and then I started my degree, and I dropped out because I just wasn't feeling the course, basically, is the long and short of it. And, you know, growing up, I was scared. I was very timid. I was scared to talk to girls that I was interested in. I didn't have the confidence to walk up to somebody I didn't know and introduce myself, you know, unless somebody introduced themselves to me, right? So, you know, I remember there was a girl who I was in love with, right? For like 8 years. In fact, it was actually longer than that, but it was 8 years when I really decided, you know, I actually really, really want this girl. But, you know, I couldn't tell her. And when I was a kid, my dad would try and push me to do things I was uncomfortable with, and I hated him, you know, and he was only doing it to try and toughen me up and build my confidence. But, you know, I was just uncomfortable, and I would run crying to mommy, scared out of my wits, and my mom would stop him from doing that, you know. And it wasn't till years later that I toughened up, and I got a summer job for a month as a charity fundraiser, okay? Who didn't actually pay me all that I was owed, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. It was for charity after all, so, you know, I just let bygones be bygones. But, you know, I have to tell you, I hated that job, and I wanted to quit after the first week. But my mom told me to persevere, and, you know, it actually toughened me up. See, here's the thing. I was scared of dogs. When I say I was scared of dogs, I'm telling you, you can ask my dad, all right? He used to make fun of me for this. But if I even heard a dog bark a mile away, or I saw a dog a mile off, I was gone. Like, you wouldn't even see me. I was off like Usain Bolt. So imagine me now going door to door, knocking, right? Knocking the door, and then all I hear is, you know, sometimes you hear those little mangy dogs like, but, you know, and sometimes you hear the ones with a deeper voice, you're like, oh boy, you know, and you'd be up at the door, you'd be like, oh, you'd be praying, Lord, please don't let anybody answer the door. And then if someone did, I had to pretend that I wasn't scared and that I was confident, you know, and then I stood firm, looking them in the eye while some of them were actually jumping on me or licking me. And I didn't really like dogs. So I was like, get off me, you know, kind of like wanted to kick it. Please, if you love dogs, don't be offended. I was just scared of dogs. I had a very, I'd say, unfortunate incident as a child. I was a baby. I don't actually remember this. My parents told me that this happened, but I was at one of my father's good friend's house, and they left me in, you know, like a car seat. I was in the car seat. I was 1 year old, and his dog, which was a harmless dog, didn't seem like it to me though. I think it was a Doberman or something like that. And, you know, so he came in the room. I was on my own, and this dog just came in and it was barking, you know, it was barking at me. And then it started to lick my face. And ever since then, from a child, I just didn't like dogs. So that's my explanation for not liking them. Okay. So anyway, that's what happened. And, you know, so I went to work doing this job while I was around dogs. And, you know, I had to just put on a brave face on. I had to pretend that I liked them. And, you know, I even had the courage to pet some of them while I was talking to people. And, you know, after doing it enough times, being confronted with maybe, I don't know, maybe 3, 4 dogs a day, my fear of dogs left me. All right. And I found myself not crossing the road if I saw somebody walking their dog. And you know what? I wasn't scared to talk to strangers anymore either. So, you know, although I hated that job, you know, it gave me one thing, and that was confidence. All right. They didn't even train us. It was pretty much, okay, you know, the do's and don'ts, what to wear, what not to wear. And they pretty much just dropped us off and we had to go up and raise money. And then, you know, I got talking to a good church friend who hooked me up with a interview at a hotel with the concierge team. And with the help of God, I literally blagged my way into the job as, the Louis Vuitton luggage executive. Okay. In other words, I was the bellboy. And I have to tell you, I absolutely loved that job. It's the bet, like today, even to today, it is the best job I ever had. Maybe not in terms of pay. I was on like £5 an hour or just above minimum wage, but man, it was a lot of fun. And you know, my boss was awesome, so much so that I invited him to my wedding. And, you know, I mean, who invites their ex-boss to their wedding? Okay, no one. This dude was cool, you know, a bit of a nutcase, but cool. I mean, we used to play pranks on each other all the time and all kind of, we used to get up to all sorts. But, you know, he taught me a lot about how to work with people. Okay, because at the end of the day, you know, people are tipping you at their own discretion. So, you know, as I said, I was on this job, making just a few pennies above minimum wage, but I got tips. And I learned if people liked you, they'd tip you well. And I got so good at it, people would come back to the hotel and ask for me. And, you know, remember, people only tip you at their own discretion. So you have to be good. And I used to have a pocket full of money at the end of every shift. Okay. Because that was, you know, I just had to learn and develop the skill because I'm only making £5 an hour. So, I mean, after taxes, I'd probably be walking away at the end of the day with about maybe £35, if that, in terms of actual pay in my pay packet. So, you know, I had to top it up with tips, and I would more than double that, you know, so that was cool. But, you know, I was actually consistently the highest tip earner, and I would, on average, make 400% more than most of the team. Okay. And they couldn't figure out what I was doing. So people thought I put my own money in the tip pool sometimes, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, why would you do that? But that's what people thought sometimes because they just couldn't figure out how I made so much. So people used to shadow me and try and figure out how it was I was doing it. But it wasn't so much what I was doing outside. Although I'm sure that that made some difference. It was what I was doing inside. Okay. I had a champion's state of mind. And because I had a champion state of mind, I smiled. I was happy to serve, you know, and people left nice comment cards about me. And you know what else? I actually liked money, you know, still do actually. And I attracted money. Okay. Not by visualizing, although I did get introduced to that concept round about that time. But you know, it wasn't by the visualizing that brought me the money. It was my attitude and my actions that attracted the money. Okay. I had a fat wad of 50s in my pocket, and you know, I still have a huge stack of US dollars that I've kept to this day. In fact, it's so big, I got stopped at the airport at London Heathrow on the way to New York one summer. You know, fortunately they didn't take it from me. But there, it's there where I started to realize that It was what was going on between my ears that was determining my success in the world. And I learned, you know, it didn't matter what the news was saying, what the economy was saying. You know, sure, some days I made more than others, you know, and sure, I had off days. And in 2008, the tips weren't quite as high, but I still made more money than anyone else consistently. And, you know, people would say, oh, the economy is bad, people aren't tipping, but I was still making money. Now, that was money that people didn't even have to give me, all right? I wasn't the thermometer, I was the thermostat, okay? And you can be too. So I'm just here to say this. My head teacher, Miss Lloyd, she was wrong, all right? She said I would never be a high flyer. Now, while I don't know what her definition of a high flyer was or is, I don't even know if she's alive at this point. She seemed pretty old at the time. Obviously, when you're 3-4 years old, everybody seems old, but I do remember her being quite advanced in years. So I don't know if she's around anymore. Bless her. But, you know, what I can tell you is this. I've been blessed to have 3 websites that make money. I've been blessed to impact the lives of thousands of people speaking and teaching up and down the country. And, you know, I have students all over the world who've invested in my courses. And, you know, I'm happily married to the girl of my dreams, who I was scared to approach 8 years. All right. And I just got back for my first year anniversary in Miami last week. And, you know, I've been fortunate to travel the world. I have the physique that I've always wanted. I eat well. I've got bags of energy and I just love life. And so I've been very fortunate to achieve many of my life goals, and I'm not showing any signs of slowing down. And I didn't get the best start in life. Okay. But I turned it around in my favor simply because I chose to. All right. I was blessed to learn from people who had what I wanted. I brought their books, their DVDs, their home study courses. I adopted, their habits, and with consistent action, I've been able to get the results I wanted. And there's still things I want to achieve that I haven't even been able to do yet, you know, but I'm that kid that was rejected by his father before he was born, who had no hope of ever being anything special. Okay, the shy kid who couldn't pick up enough courage to ask a girl out. Okay, the guy who was scared of dogs, scared to talk to strangers, the kid who failed in school. You know, so there's something I want you to be open-minded to that you might not realize, you know, and I've said it before that this might, you know, this might sound crazy, but there is a monster inside you. Okay. And I want to expose that monster and how it was created. And once you know it, I'll show you the 5 skills to banish that monster forever and unleash the champion to rein in your head from this day on, so that there's no peaks and valleys, up one day, down another. It's more like a 45 degree blast off to take your life to another level, so that you can live in confidence that anything you seriously want to accomplish, you can make happen. Okay, I don't care what it is. All right, you need to know that there are people that do it, and it's time for you to become one. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to expose the monster within, okay? I'm going to expose the outside factors that go in, and if you allow it, all right, it's if you allow it, they stick, and they build this monster of self-doubt inside you. And it's this resistance that holds you back. Now, when was the last time you went out of your way? Sorry, something went your way when you had zero confidence. Have you ever doubted something would go your way, but you did it anyway and you got the result you wanted? When was the last time that happened? What happened? Did you speak to someone and they shifted your mind about something? Did the champion within start talking? What did it? Have you ever passed up the opportunity to meet the girl or man of your dreams because you didn't have the confidence to walk up and say hi? Did you maybe miss out on the promotion or start your new business because confidence was lacking? Okay, this monster is the foundation for all of it. And now, I want to show you why it's happening and how to kill it, all right? But before I do, I'm just going to take a sip of water because I'm getting a little dry. Bear with me. Okay, so the first one I would say is the news. When is the last time you watched the news and you felt fantastic? Okay, it's fuel for the monster living inside you. Okay, you're gonna get sick. You're gonna go broke. Now's not a good time to start a business. You're gonna die. Your kids are gonna die. The terrorists are gonna get you. You know what? Ignore the news for a week, okay? And just notice how great you feel. Just try it out. Now, how about weaknesses? People tell you to work on your weaknesses. You know, they say to get strong at the things that you're weak at. And, you know, there's some areas of life where that might make sense. But in most cases, it's one of the worst things you can do. You should focus on what you're good at and hire professionals to do what you're weak at. Okay? There's a guy called Ned Hallowell. Okay? He's the world's leading ADD specialist. That's attention deficit disorder. And this is a guy who gets kids off drugs and helps them live a fulfilled life. He says kids with ADD are like a Ferrari engine with bad brakes, and he gives them good brakes. So he'll take a kid, and let's say his name's Tommy, and Tommy doesn't have the patience to sit down and read a book. His school teacher keeps telling him he needs to read the book to get better, but he doesn't read it. He can't sit still. And the teacher's always on his case, and this knocks his confidence. And they tell Tommy's parents, you know, we think your son has ADD. And the doctor prescribes drugs. So Tommy goes to school every day in a drug-induced, practically sedated state. Okay? Now that's one approach. Now what Ned Hallowell does is he finds out what Tommy is good at. And he helps him excel at it. Now what happens when you become great at things? Your confidence grows. Tommy becomes really confident that he is, in fact, brilliant, all right? His state of mind changes, and then all of a sudden, Tommy starts reading all on his own. And he didn't even work on his weaknesses, okay? If I worked on my weaknesses, I don't know where I'd be, okay? But what I like to do is I like to hire people to cover for my weaknesses, all right? Now, here's also how the monster is developed. It's, you know, we've talked about news, we've talked about, can't believe it just slipped my mind, weaknesses, and now we're going to talk about bad advice. This is another way the monster is built. Now, let me just ask you, how many times have people willingly offered you advice? Okay? They've offered you advice and they are in a worse situation than you are in that area. Has that ever happened to you? I mean, do you know how many times I've had people who are overweight try and tell me what to do to stay fit and healthy? And I'm like, okay, thank you very much. Not gonna take your advice because obviously what you're doing is not working for you, my friend. You know? So I kind of just smile. I'm like, all right, you know. anyway, and the same in the area of finances. Has that ever happened? Or how about that business you wanted to start or that job you wanted to go for and you let someone talk you out of it? You know, I once wanted a sales job once and it was 100% commission only and they were paying £400, clean money, £400 for each sale. And all the leads were pre-qualified warm leads. And you know what? My mother talked me out of it. I wouldn't risk it if I were you. You should go for a job that pays a salary, something you can rely on. And I let her talk me out of it. And I mean, I was on the phone all day. You know, if I was thinking to myself, I thought, man, if I was on the phone all day and I only sold 10 a month, I'd have been making more money than most people make in the UK. All right. But I let her talk me out of it. Bad advice. Okay. Now, have you ever had an idea for an invention and then you tell someone and they tell you, oh, that's crazy. That will never work. You know, nobody's going to buy that. Right? And then a year later, you see it on TV. And that person is making millions every month with infomercials. Or you tell somebody, there's some girl or some guy you like, and they tell you, you've got no chance. Or that's just not likely to happen. I mean, I remember telling a church friend that I liked this girl at my church, and he was like, well, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a height difference between you. Guess what? I married her. Now, what if I'd listened to him? I would have missed out on the girl of my dreams. Bad advice, okay? Bad advice is one of the worst things in the world. Not just for missing out on a key life-altering decision, but it feeds the monster inside you. And then you have this resistance that tells you, you can't move forward. Okay, we can't do it. It's too hard. And it just crushes your confidence. And this monster within you begins to build a story. Okay, I can't do it. You know, maybe all the people out there who look happy are, they're just all like me. They're just faking it. You know, you can't really get rich anymore. I mean, those days are gone. You know, you can't really live the epic life. I can't change my career now. I've been in this job 15 years. It doesn't make sense to change now. You know, maybe this is the best I can do financially. Maybe this is the best my relationship will ever be. Or, you know, I just have a slow metabolism. I'm always going to be overweight. You know, plus I think I look better with a little meat on my bones. You know, I've heard people saying this, these things. But let me just tell you, it's the monster living inside you. It's the monster holding you back. It's just a story. That's what the monster is. It's a story. It's a story that you have accepted. And now you know where it comes from. You have the opportunity to kill it. And that's what we're going to do right now. Okay. 5 things to kill the monster, raise your confidence, and become unstoppable. Okay. Become the best you. So we're going to kill the monster and unleash your champion. Okay. Now, the first step is finding your why. Why do you want more money? Why do you want a better relationship? Better connection with your children? You know, why do you want to look better in the mirror? Okay. You know, most of the time when we answer that, the first 3 to 4 answers, they just kind of come from our brain. Okay. They're pretty much what the pat answer. Okay. And, you know, it says we want more time with our family. We want to make more money. We want control of our life. And, you know, it's always 7 times deeper than that. And I want to show you the quickest way that I've found in my life to find your why. Someone once asked me why I wanted money so much. And I said, because I want to not have to worry. You know, I want independence to go where I want, do what I want. That came from my head. And, you know, when you keep asking yourself why, eventually it flips from your head and then it goes to your heart and then you find your true why. And, you know, I realized, you know, I don't want to go backwards. You know, I struggled so much as a child. We were so broke. I never wanted to go back there again. You know, I want to take care of my mother. She has no house. She's in her late 50s, doesn't own anything. You know, I want to be able to take care of my family, my sister, my wife. You know, she's so kind to me. I want to give her the life she deserves. And, you know, I want to help the poor, you know, the orphans and other single mothers. You know, and I thought, you know, that's it. You know, I want to take care of my family and help the poor. But even that wasn't it. Okay, that wasn't really the deepest why. And I kept digging and digging and digging, asking why. And you know what I discovered? It all boils down to one thing. See, as a child, I was constantly moving schools, having to make new friends. I remember, you know, my dad brought my sister a car. It was a Mini Cooper, and I really wanted one too. And so when it came to my turn, he said he was going to get me a VW Beetle. Okay. And I was like, I don't want a Beetle. I mean, Dad, I don't like that car. It's a girl's car. No offense if you're a dude and you have that car. I was just, That's how I saw it. Okay. I'm like, I only see women driving that car. I don't want that car. Okay. And he said, son, beggars can't be choosers, son. Anyway, thank God he didn't get me a Beetle. Okay. He helped pay off my mom's car and, you know, we shared that car. But, you know, I really wanted my own car. Beggars can't be choosers though. Right? And I was like, man, I can't wait until I have my own money, right? Then I can choose and do what I want to do. I want control in my life. I want choice, you know? And I realized that is my why. That is my why. You know, I want money because I want control, because I want to choose what goes on in my life. My whole life was spent doing what I had to adapt to in terms of the decisions that other people made for me, you know, and I just wanted to choose for myself. I want to choose what car I drive. I want to choose where I live. I want to choose how I dress. I don't want to be restricted by money. You know, I'm not a control freak or anything, but I want to be in control. So, you know, when I'm having a tough time, when my confidence is low, I know my why. I want to be in control. I want to choose how I live my life. I want to live the epic life. And when you find your why, and yours could be similar to mine, I don't know. But when you find your why, that monster starts to get crushed, okay? And it can't overpower a true why, okay? So figure out the why. The second step, okay, the first is the who, the first is the why, the second is the who. Who do you want to do this for? You know, I know you want it for yourself. I know that. And that's good, okay? But a motive outside of yourself gives extra incentive to succeed, okay? It raises your why and your confidence and crushes the monster inside you. So the best way to find your who is with an exercise, okay? And you've got to do this today. When you are on a plane, okay, and the oxygen mask drops, I'm not saying you have to get on a plane today, okay, but when you're on a plane and the oxygen mask drops, they say, put your mask on first and then what? Help others, right? You've heard this before, I'm sure, okay? So when your oxygen mask drops, you become financially sound, emotionally sound, physically sound, sound in your relationship. Who do you want to help put an oxygen mask on next? Okay? Is it your kids, your spouse, your parents? Is it maybe your church, people in need? You know, when you know the who, the monster can't live. So that's why and who. Next, body and words. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, when your state is down, your confidence is down. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying? When your state of mind is down, okay, your confidence is down. Now, what words do you use and how do you look? Okay, when you're feeling down, are you maybe slumped over, head looking down at the floor, swaying side to side as you walk? You know, you're just thinking like, maybe your words will be like, oh, you know, someone asks how you are and you're like, oh man, I'm stressed. Okay. Yeah. You know, I'll be okay. You know, I just have a lot going on. I'm tired, you know, and you feel sorry for the person, but at the same time, you kind of want to just leave them to it. You know, you don't really want to hang around them. Maybe people kind of avoid you sometimes because you're always a negative, you know, so and so. And, you know, you can tell from just looking at how somebody carries themselves, what kind of person they are. And you can almost always tell what somebody is like to talk to without even speaking to them by their body language. And if the person is smiling, their shoulders are back, their head is up, they look at the person in front of them, you can tell the person is a successful person. That person is contagious. Their energy is contagious. And you just want to be around them. So the body language that we have, that we exhibit, the words we use, encourages and grows the champion inside us. So from now on, I want you to pay attention to the words you're using and your body language, okay? Notice how your posture is. Notice that, you know, where you're looking when you're speaking to somebody. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to tell me, you know, whenever I went to see him, he said, son, roll your shoulders back. Walk like you have a purpose, like you're going somewhere. And whenever you meet someone, you look them straight in the eyes, you grip their hand tight and you grin. And I used to do this. I used to practice doing this, and in doing that, people saw, wow, they'd be impressed. I mean, whenever I went anywhere, my sister and I went anywhere, my parents would always get compliments about how impressed they were with their children, my sister and I, and that's just basically because of how we would greet people. We would always be polite because our parents trained us very well to be that way. Now, the next step is to have a proof story. This is really powerful. And this is one of my favorite things to do, is to get a proof story that the story you're telling yourself in your mind about why you can't do something or why something is hard, you have proof, a proof story that proves that that system, that belief system is rubbish. Okay? So that's why I say proof that your story is BS. Okay? Belief system. So maybe you might want to go online and prove that the story the monster has been selling you is BS, a belief system, okay? If it's, oh, I can't do in life because I never went to college or university. So what? Okay, Richard Branson didn't go to college. Tony Robbins didn't go to college. Quite a few billionaires didn't go to college. Or how about this one? It takes money to make money. Are you crazy? Do you know how many people who came from nothing are millionaires today? It doesn't take money. It takes resourcefulness. Okay. I recommend you get Jay Abraham's book called Getting All You Can Out of Everything You've Got. I think that's the title. Okay. Getting All You Can Out of Everything You've Got. It might be Getting Everything You Can Out of All You've Got. It might be the other way around, but I think if you Google it, it should come up. But that's an awesome investment. Okay. You read that book, you'll never be able to make an excuse again about why you can't do something. It gives you all the wise ingenuity that you can use to make headways in whatever it is that you're endeavoring to do. Or, if you want to have a look at something that is a way that you can make money without money, you can go to strategiccashblueprint.com. That's one of my websites, and I'll show you how to make money with absolutely no money from scratch. Okay. Now, maybe your story might be, I can't seem to find a good man. All right. All men cheat. No, they don't. Okay. Not all men cheat. I don't. Okay, there are amazing men and women out there who wouldn't dream of cheating on the one they love. And I happen to be one of them. And they say, oh, the good ones are taken. Nah. I know some real, good dudes, real good dudes, and they're single, And so, hey, not everybody is taken. Now, maybe you might be saying, oh, I don't have the time to get in shape. Nobody has extra time. All right. But when we make it a priority, we find the time, okay? We find the time. So we do have the time to get in shape, and we can get in shape, all right? Don't use that as an excuse. So always look for a story that proves the monster's story is BS, okay? Find someone who had the same obstacles as you, who is currently doing what you want, all right? And then get their story. Let it inspire you. Maybe there's a video about them on YouTube or something. Watch it. Let that inspire you. And, don't surround yourself with people who have the same story as you, in the sense that, they've still got this monster story in their head about why they can't do something. Refuse to be part of a group or to even participate in a discussion about why something can't be done. Just don't get involved, right? So it may mean that you have to find new friends. And if that's the case, find new friends. Find new friends, all right? If you are overweight and all your friends are too and you want to lose weight, you're probably not going to be able to do it hanging around them, okay? Because you're going to go together, you're going to go to the same restaurant, order similar things. have the same sorts of discussions about, you know, whatever it is you're going to be doing. And if you're hanging around them, you're going to have the same habits as them. And if you have the same habits as them, then the chances are you're going to get the same results that you've always been getting. So find some fit and healthy friends, you know, go to the gym, go and make friends with people who look how you'd like to look, you know? And then finally, you want to break the mold. Okay. You want to break the mold. So what does that mean? Do something today that breaks that rhythm. Do something that breaks your state being down, your confidence being down. And I would suggest this. Call someone today who you have been putting off for weeks. All right. When there was maybe a breakdown in their relationship, an old friend, a family member that you had a feud with, make the call and show yourself that you can put your shoulders back. Okay. And that you can really get involved with them and, you know, make headways with them. All right. You know your why. Okay. Because you want to resolve an old problem. You know your who, because you want to become, you know, a better person and let old stuff go. Okay. And, you know, you don't let things linger over your head. You know your body and your words, you know, that come from your heart and not your head. And you prove that the story is BS. You know, maybe the person is wrong, but it doesn't mean you have to feel that and live with it. Okay. And break the mold by doing something different. And I challenge you today to do something that you are afraid to do. Okay. My friend, you can't wait years to change. Okay. When you are desperate and have no choice, you can change right now. All right. And people do. So what I want to show you is that we all have this monster living inside of us, holding us back. And for the most part, it's all from the outside world imposing on our thought processes and knocking our confidence. But with the five things I just shared with you, you can destroy that monster. When you know your why, you know who it's for, when you just put on a different presentation to the world of yourself, you can break the mold and do something different right now, okay? This alone is the rocket ship to the epic life you deserve, all right? So I'm talking about breaking the mold. If you think I don't get scared sometimes and lose confidence, I do, to be quite honest, you know, but I just refuse to let it overcome me. But even now, before I get up to speak, sometimes I do feel nervous. And especially if someone really good just went before me. I remember on my wedding day and it was speech time. My best man's speech was brilliant. All right. He had everyone spellbound and, you know, he did a fantastic job. He embarrassed me as well too. Really did a great job. Okay. And then it was my turn to speak and I was like, wow, I have to follow that. Cause he really caught me off guard with some stuff. I mean, he dug deep, you know, he came up with some things. I was like, oh man, you know, and I didn't have the steps that I just showed you, right? But I knew I had to do it. And, you know, my speech was one to remember. Nobody's forgot it even since. It's only been a year, but still people are talking about it and people are still talking about it till this day. People come back to me and they say, they recite parts of it back to me. And I'm like, wow, you remember that? That was like a year ago. And they're like, yeah, I do. You know, and I've had people tell other people about it who literally have asked me to redo it, wanting to hear it, you know? So look, the point is, it's time for you to make your speech to the world, to let the world know that you are here and you're not going anywhere. Okay. You're going to make your mark on the world and the world is going to be a better place because you were born and you are going to be tremendously well compensated for it. So think of a time in your life when you were scared, but you just did it anyway. Okay. And you either got the result you wanted or you learned the lesson. You were scared to ask that girl out and she became your wife. You were scared to go to the gym because you were overweight and you thought, you know, all the fit people might make fun of you, but you went anyway and you actually found they were really supportive and you lost the weight. And every time you look in the mirror now, you see the body you always wanted. All right. You can do this. You can do this. Okay. So now let's get down to business. All right. You are here after all to build habit number one. And that is overriding fear and controlling your emotions. Long term, building a permanent hardwired mind doers pattern, right? So for the last 9 days, you have been programming yourself with the doer's mind pattern, listening to the Epic Secret and the Accelerated Fear Formula once a day. All right. And you're going to continue doing this for the period of this program, and reading the Duty Method, or maybe listening to it, morning and evening for 15 minutes. Now, we will begin a new part of this habit and practice the next 9 days, okay, while keeping what you have been doing going. And now we will continue and we will program yourself with the doer's mind pattern by writing your goals down, okay? That's what I want you to do. Write your goals down morning and evening. Every time you fail, okay, and every time you feel down, all right? So morning and evening, write your goals down, and you want to write them down every time you fail or you feel down, all right, to get you back on focus again. This is building a doer's mind pattern. And to visualize emotionally, to visualize what it is, remember we went through the exercises in the Procrastination Annihilation Blueprint, to visualize emotionally what it is that you actually want to have happen in your life. So all of this is designed to condition your mind first to be confident you can get the result you want, to get certain by getting results in your head, to visualize what you want perfectly, okay? And perfect practice makes perfect. And that really is all there is to conditioning your mind. Instead of planning based on current circumstances and limitations, and you know, this allows you to remove all constraints and just imagine the ideal future situation. Okay. Now, before you can do something, you must first be something. You ever heard that one? Before you can do something, you must first be something. Well, it's got to happen on the inside first. You've got to build a champion state of mind, which is exactly what these exercises are designed to do. And so what happens is, as you are doing this, you're building this visualization, writing your goals, you know, the power flows into your inner conscious mind. It builds a new image. And what happens is the subconscious mind accepts it. You remember, I think it was Brain Hack 4, the paradigm, the paradigm shift. Okay. So we take the images from our conscious mind, and by visualizing them, we impress them upon our subconscious mind, and then our body begins to accept it, and we begin to re-engineer and design our mind and our bodies to adjust to this new mindset. And if you make a picture of yourself in 3 years, you know, having achieved your highest potential, you know, and you notice how you look, what you're wearing or driving, the house you're living in, where you are living, your posture, the expression on your face, and every day for 5 minutes, what I want you to do is to look at it, and I want you to imagine having it, to getting emotionally involved, feeling what it looks like, and just enjoying it, okay? And then you close your eyes to emotionalize it and pretend, and you act as if it's real, okay? And so for the next 9 days, just so we're clear, you will be programming yourself with the doer's mind pattern, and you will be listening to the Epic Secret and Accelerated Fear Formula. You'll be reading the Duty Method, okay, as you've been doing. And we're adding to that, writing our goals down morning and evening, and every time you fail, and just visualizing, just for a few minutes, even just 5 minutes, visualizing emotionally, as I've told you, okay? So now we want to look at how you will make this certain. You will make certain that this habit becomes automatic and inevitable. So what we need to do right now is we need to set up your environment for success by identifying what you will need to do your habit, what you'll need to add in your thinking and your environment, and what you'll need to remove in your environment. And so it's imperative that you start these new habits early in the day when you still have willpower. And if you start to do important things at the same time every day, then what happens is you get into a routine, and your routines are habits. So at first, you'll have to think about doing it, and soon you won't have to at all. It will become automatic by regularly repeating at the same specific time daily, right? So the key here is to get you into the habit of following instructions, all right? If you start doing that now, all right, it will get easier later, and you will benefit from the compounding effects paid into your emotional bank balance, okay? So that's the first and second component of the habit, component of the habit of controlling your emotions and overriding your fear. And you'll see how this all comes together, all right? So make sure that you're doing those exercises. So what are we going to add in our thinking? All right. So as you've already done, you're making the resolute decision to read and listen to the things we've discussed. Okay. So what time are you going to do that? You should already be doing that anyway. All right. And what time are you going to be doing the new exercises, which is writing your goals down and visualizing emotionally? All right. So pick a time to do that. Maybe you might want to get up a little earlier or whatever it is that you need to do to fit it in. Just make the time for it. It doesn't take long to do. So, everybody has the time to do these things. You just got to commit to it. We're only doing this for 90 days. And after 90 days, boy, you're going to have these cash generating habits that stick. So that's what we're going to add in our thinking. So what time are you going to do it? Now we want to remove from the environment any distractions that might come your way while you're doing this. Okay. So in order to allow you to create your habit before being sidetracked, you might want to turn off the computer, the phone, the email, the Facebook, and just make sure that you're focused while you're doing this. Okay. So what else are you going to add new in your actual environment? Okay. Well, you've got to put up a reminder somewhere that you'll see every night before bed and first thing in the morning when you wake up to get you on the right track. So, the reading, the listening, the writing, the goals down, the same way you did last session, you just do it again. All right. And you'll be able to make sure that you're actually doing it. Just have it written down what it is that you're going to do. And then you'll be able to do it. So figure out where you're going to put your reminder and what your reminder is going to be. All right. And to make it inevitable, promise someone something that you would hate to give away. Okay. Maybe $1,000 if you don't prove to them that you've done this exercise every day for 90 days. All right. And what I want you to do is write down who's going to be holding you accountable, what you will promise them. And I want you to add a screenshot of your email promising them this. Okay. Just as your homework for your own personal reference to be able to do this. All right. So that is the end of session two, and I will catch you up on session number three in 9 days. Okay. So we'll be in touch. See you then. Bye bye.